Our scripture today is from Psalm 138. You can follow along in your pew Bible if you would like. While you're looking for that, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love and your care. We thank you for your presence and for this moment that you share with us your word. And you have given to us your grace through the knowledge that you want us to know more and more of you. We pray that the reading of this word is for your glory, for seeking you out. We also pray that the expounding on the word is used for your glory. And we thank you, Lord, that as you have shown us, you can use all things. And so, Lord, use us this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 138. It's a psalm of David. I give thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple, and I give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted your name and your word above everything. On the day I called, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. They shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he perceives from far away. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So those of you who are here, raise your hand if you're a Star Wars fan. You know, I got to say, one thing I love about Star Wars fans is when you ask them if you're a Star Wars fan, they don't timidly raise their hands. It's not something that most people are ashamed of. If you're a Star Wars fan, you're proud of it. You raise that hand high. You're confident of your geekiness. Or not just that. Star Wars is a great story. Thing about Star Wars is when it came out in what, 76? 78. Always get confused which one it is, the first one. 70-something. Come on, you guys got Google. I know you use your phone while you're sitting here on occasion. No? All right. Well, if you look, let me know. If you don't, that's good too. So anyway, somewhere around there, when it came out, it wasn't expected to be much. It was a weird story with a weird premise and a weird theme. And they didn't have the budget or technical abilities to pull off so many of the stuff that they wanted to do. In fact, if you watch Star Wars closely, 77. All right, I was wrong on both counts. Yeah, nice, way to go. So I thought you said 70 something. You said I thought you said 70 something too. Oh, it is, yeah. So 77, Star Wars, first film. If you watch it closely, you'll see that they did not have enough footage to make an entire movie. They had to reuse footage over and over again in order to kind of eke out that story that they wanted to tell. One of the most famous examples raise your hand if you know Tusken Raider. All right, so the Tusken Raider, right, Stephanie did it. This Tusken Raider. And they had the sound, you know, that kind of sound, right? So when the actor did the Tusken Raider, he did this. That was it. That was what they filmed on that day. But they knew that wasn't long enough. They needed more. They needed to put minutes on the film any way they could find it. So the pumping motion that we get today in the film is them rewinding the film and then letting it play, and then rewinding it again, and then letting it play, and then rewinding it again, and letting it play. It's the same frame over and over again, just seen multiple times. Do you know the scene where Luke Skywalker and Han Solo are rescuing Princess Leia? Then they end up splitting up inside of the Death Star, right? And so Luke Skywalker and Princess Leia are on one side of this metal chasm, the ramps out, and then on the other side is another doorway, and there's stormtroopers coming through that. And they're shooting at each other. You know that scene I'm talking about? Watch that scene closely, and you'll see that each stormtrooper dies at least twice. And you can watch the same one fall down twice as they cut the film. This film wasn't expected to be anything. But with imagination, with creativity, with the dedication of the cast, which, by the way, thought that it was a joke too, it became a lot. Resonated with an entire generation of people and still resonates with people today. One of the reasons I think why this film resonates so well with people is that it tells a well-known story. And even is in itself an illustration of that same story. It's about the rebels beating the empire. It's about the underdog surmounting all odds and winning. It's about, to put it in biblical terms, David and Goliath. It's about the little man triumphing over the bigger. We love that story. It resonates with us. And it's the American story. We gained our independence from England. Us little colonists. The Bible is full of this story. This story. The little in face of the big. God choosing the less to shame the greater. And there's so many different examples that are good for that. And I think one of the best is Abraham. You see, Abraham grew up in a society, in a culture, in a world that was polytheistic. Polytheistic meaning many gods. There's a god for everything. God of the woods, god of the forest, god of the earth, god of the waters, god of the air. So many different gods that people worshipped and gave their allegiance to different ones. The things that we're most familiar with that kind of helps to highlight this example is the Romans and the Greeks' understanding of gods. Those stories have been told by book and movies and comic books and all forms of different medias over and over and over again. So many different gods. Abraham, however, was the soul, the lone voice for monotheism. One God. In the midst of a world that believed that there was many, Abraham said there's only one. And that one God chose him and said, I'm going to show you how right you are. I'm going to show the world how right you are. It wasn't easy. But that one guy who believed that off-the-wall thing and stood by it, it's the reason we're here today. That one guy, because of that weird belief, changed the world. Made the world different. But the thing is that no matter how different the world became as Abraham and his descendants went through it, polytheism never went away. It was always there. Israel struggled with polytheism for its entire history in the Hebrew Bible. God constantly warning them against serving other gods, constantly showing them that God is the only true God, and that God is their God, that God should be their choice. Scripture that we read today has a moment where David recognizes the reality of his world, but then stands up against that reality. And he says this, I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. For that culture, there are gods, multiple gods, lots of gods. The truth is, there's only one God, but the reality is that many were worshipped. David didn't wrestle or argue with people about the truth of it, but he wrestled and he stood up in the face of the reality of it. And he says, okay, you got your gods. You know what? In the presence of your gods, I praise mine. Joshua said something a little similar to this. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. I love this phrase because it makes a choice that's actually there. David had to choose who to serve. And for him, it meant serving God in light of everything else. Things have changed. We don't talk a whole lot about polytheism these days. We live in a culture that has fully embraced Christianity. Christianity, with its influences and its population, are declining, getting smaller. But it's still highly accepted. It's not a lot of, we don't get a whole lot of grief for following Christ. Make no mistake, though, that the spirit of polytheism still exists in our culture. Being that we live in a consumeristic culture, there are so many things vying for our attention. There's another question for you Google people, or people just know stuff without Googling it. When was YouTube? When did that come about? Yeah. Are you just throwing numbers out there? Yeah, that's a good thing. Yeah. I thought it was in the late 90s, personally. We got Brent here. He's checking. Do you remember when Google first started? I do, for the most part, anyway. It was such a joy to watch. You could watch anything that was on there without being interrupted with a single commercial. You had unlimited access to everything that was there, and you wouldn't get advertised to once. 2005? Wow, that was way off. Five? Yeah. Boy, both your Googles agree. That's nice. That doesn't always happen. Yeah, it was. YouTube was great. You could scroll all day long and not see an entire commercial. And then it started to change. Commercials started popping up at the beginning of each thing. And they weren't too intrusive, you know, little things, 5-second skits or whatever. And then they got longer and longer. Now they let you skip it after 5 seconds or so, depending. Sometimes they make you watch too until you can watch your thing. But now it gets to the point where they interrupt the middle of the YouTube program and with a commercial, and you can't skip them. You know when they're coming, but if you fast forward beyond that, it'll give you that commercial anyway. So many things are vying for our attention. We may not live in a necessarily polytheistic society, but we live in a society with the spirit of polytheism. So many things out there want us. So many different things out there want us. And we dabble in a lot of stuff. Little sports here, little politics here, little news watching here, obituary there. We got rituals that we do every day. They have to stay the same. It's not just about following Christ. I had a grandfather who said that every morning he'd read the paper. Same thing. Local news, comics, obituaries. That's what he read. That's what he cared about. Obituaries, he said, if I'm not in there, it's a good day. But that was his, that's what he had to do. And I tell you what, sometimes those things take away from our devotion to God. The desire for money, success, the desire for companionship, desire for joy sometimes. Things that seem innocent sometimes take over and become for us what it shouldn't be. Things that are naturally what we need taken too far. We have another chance, like David, like Joshua, to be able to go to a place, to look at the reality of the world, to quiet the other voices, and sometimes if they don't quiet, to stand up and shout, in the midst of all this, I need to choose God. In the midst of everything that's going on, I choose you, Jesus. Abraham, David, Joshua, in the society that they lived in, where polytheism was the norm, they had to wake up every morning and say, I choose God this day. We need to make the same choice. We have the same decision to make every day. What do we choose? Where do we go? I pray that for me and my house, we're able to choose God. And say in the midst of all the things getting our attention, saying, Lord, I choose you. I choose you today. I have to choose you tomorrow. And with your love and your patience, I'll choose you again. And I thank God for that. I'll leave you with this final benediction. O God, the King Eternal, whose light divides a day from night and turns a shadow of death into morning, drive far from us all wrong desires. Incline our hearts to keep your law. And guide our feet into the way of peace, that having done your will with cheerfulness during the day, we may, when night comes, rejoice to give you thanks. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen and amen. Go in peace.